Blog Talk Radio.
That's a pretty dress.
Breaker 1-9, we got ourselves a convoy. Ladies and gentlemen.
All right, Mark, you're up.
Ladies and gentlemen, I am El Guapo. I am the second half of the best 1-2 punch in alternative radio. I am Mark Hoffman, host of Patriot Nation Radio here, talking on the conservatives, on a conservative's perspective, usually with James Bostic, who is here with me. Are you there, James?
Yes, El Guapo. Yeah, I don't know. We're finally here, man. Great. Super-de-duper.
Excellent. What I'm going to do is I'm going to bail out of the studio, and I'm going to go to the actual radio show and see if it's broadcasting.
Okay, that sounds great. Hopefully, all things being equal, you'll go there and hear it as well. Mark Hoffman, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to go ahead and mute you, Mark, and we'll see what's going on here. Wow. Okay, well, it looks like we can be heard, or at least we're being heard at some point somewhere. Okay, well, we'll go ahead and get started. Welcome, Miley. Don't pay the ransom. We were able to kill some guards and escape. James Bostic here with the Conservative's Perspective on the Patriot Nation Radio Network here at Blog Talk Radio. Ordinarily, all things being equal, we would be on Tuesdays and Thursdays live 7 p.m. But like I said, we had some pretty serious atmospheric stuff going on here where we're at. And sometimes that plays havoc with the Blog Talk system and the Internet and the servers and what have you. But apparently, we were able to get through. Melissa Petry was able to get through. She's got in there as host and was able to bring us up. So I am assuming somebody's hearing me. Anyway, here's what have I got? I'm guessing then you guys are getting some pretty serious hail over there, right? The size of quarters. Well, I guess what? Guess what? You're now our weather correspondent, Melissa. I'm going to go ahead and bring you up. Maybe.
Hey. It's very stormy. I've got probably, I can't see the deck. How's that? It's covered
okay.
in ice.
Well,
and hail, and it's quite bad out here.
It is as quiet as, it's quiet here. We have thunder. We had about 10 minutes of rain. And so far, that's been the end of the story. I haven't looked at the radar yet, but I knew it was going to be thick, and it's going to get worse here around 8 o'clock. I don't know if we're
yes,
there,
it's supposed to hit
try.
Again. I've got really bad lightning and thunder and, like I said, quite a bit of hail. I will be surprised if I have a windshield later.
Wow. Well, are you in the vehicle now?
No.
Okay. All right. I was going to say,
but
I
will
get
pictures. I will take pictures, and I will get them up to you.
Outstanding. Okay, well, you guys be careful, be safe. Thanks for getting us in. I'm going to go ahead and mute
you're
you now.
You're very welcome. I'm on all devices should I be needed. Just yell.
Okay, thanks a lot. Melissa Petry there, one of the producers for the program. All right, we're here, and I don't know how long it's going to be or how long it's going to last, but we're here for right now, and one of the things, okay, Mark says we're out there. We're being heard. Yeah, Gary, we're fine. Everybody's safe, but it's some rough weather. Right over there where Melissa is a little bit worse than where I'm at right now. She's talking about, she inboxed me here and says quarter-size hail. And this time of year, that's not unheard of here in West Virginia. Okay, what were we going to talk about? Okay, Mark's going live from the front seat of his car. Is that kind of like paradise by the dashboard lights? What's going on down there, Mark? Okay, where are we? We're going to go ahead and get started off with this. It's hopefully we'll keep it together. This is kind of a long clip, but I'm going to go ahead and do it now while I can. This is the president. This is Donald Trump. He's with Rita Bartiromo. This is me. It's a telephone interview. About 12 minutes. Really, really good stuff. And, you know, we haven't heard much out of the president. He really raised the roof at CPAC a couple of weeks ago. But, you know, he's retreated unto himself. And quite frankly so, the way he was treated and the way people castigated him, if he never said a word to any of us again, it would serve us right. But he's laying low. But he was on with Maria Bartiromo, I think it was yesterday. So I'm going to go ahead and fire that up. And, okay, here we go. This is the president. And he's talking about the vaccine and things China virus related.
Welcome back. Now, this exclusive in just a moment, former President Donald Trump will respond to President Biden's agenda, the crisis at the border, and the attacks on the Trump presidency. As the Washington Post today is forced to correct quotes of President Trump that he never made. And today, Department of Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas said that the United States is facing more migrants at the border than it has in the last 20 years. But he stopped short of calling it a crisis. Joining me right now with reaction to that and a lot more is the 45th President of the United States, Donald J. Trump. Mr. President, thank you so much for being with me tonight.
Thank you, Maria. Thank you.
We have so much to get to with you. President Biden's first order of business on January 20th and 21st was to overturn your policies at the border, immediately stop construction of the wall, triggering an onslaught of new illegal immigration. Your reaction, do you believe this would not have happened had he not overturned your policies?
Well, my policies were working better than they've ever seen on the southern border. The wall is almost complete. We just had to fix little sections, complete little sections that had to be together. We needed them in order to get the trucks back and forth from side to side, but they've chosen to stop right in the middle. They could have it finished in a month, and it would be just magnificent. It already is magnificent what it's done in the areas where it's totally completed, but just small sections are remaining, and they should finish it. But they're destroying our country. People are coming in by the hundreds of thousands. Young children are coming in, and they leave their homes, and they come up because they think it's going to be so wonderful. And frankly, our country can't handle it. It is a crisis like we've rarely had, and certainly we've never had on the border. But it's going to get much worse. I mean, what you're seeing now is very bad, record numbers, but it's going to get much, much worse. With a little bit of time, you'll see those numbers expand at a level like you've never seen before.
Well, you had 400-plus miles of new wall constructed, Mr. President. Of course, you did a deal with Mexico to share the burden of the illegal immigration. The Remain of Mexico policy was something I know that you and Secretary Pompeo worked on for a long time. Is there any way to reverse that? What would be your advice for the Biden administration to stop the bleeding at the border?
Well, I have great respect for the president of Mexico. He's a great gentleman. We had a very good relationship. They had 28,000 soldiers on our border while we were building the wall. They had 28,000 soldiers not allowing people to come into our country, and they were also stopping them at their northern border by Honduras and El Salvador, Guatemala. They were stopping them so they wouldn't come through Mexico, and we had it really down to a good system. And as the wall was finished, they could remove soldiers, but they still had the same 28,000. And we had a great relationship. They understood that I was playing with tariffs if they didn't do that, but we never had to do that to Mexico because the relationship that we developed was very, very good, very close. And we stopped what was coming into Mexico at their northern border. They stopped that, and they stopped it at our southern border. So we had very few people coming in, and we also stopped human trafficking. When I say stopped it, made a tremendous dent like has never been made before, and also drug trafficking. So we did a lot of things, and all of that is now eroded. Today, they're coming in. You take a look. They're coming in from all foreign countries. I see they're coming in now from Yemen. They're coming in from the Middle East. They're coming in from everywhere. They're dropping them off, and they're pouring into our country. It's a disgrace. They're going to destroy our country if they don't do something about it.
Yeah, we've been talking a lot about this and the implications. There are sexual assaults. Mexico's president said that the cartels view President Biden as the migrant president. Look, President Trump, you've had a little time now to sit back and think about all of this. I want to get your take on President Biden's agenda, including the border, but also this stimulus package, the idea that we are on the doorstep of much higher taxes. What would be the impact, in your view, on an economy that is just beginning to recover?
Well, it was recovering under my administration twice. We got it to a level that the world has never seen before. We were the envy of the world, and then when we got hit by the, as I call it, the China virus, COVID, it obviously went down along with every other economy, and then we were the first to get it back up. And we actually, the stock market when I left was higher, slightly higher than it was even at the prime prior to COVID. So it was incredible what we were able to do. If you look at the jobs numbers, we had the all-time highest number of jobs. We had 160 million people working. We were never close to that. Everything we had, African-American, Asian-American, Hispanic-American, everybody was setting records. Women, it didn't matter. Any group was setting records. And now when I look at what's happening, we were energy independent. Very shortly, we will no longer be energy independent. Gas prices are going up at a far more rapid rate than anybody's seen in a long time. We had gas prices very low, and yet we had more energy jobs than we've ever had. But, you know, when you see gas prices going up, and they'll be going up by $1, $2, $3, if you look at that, and that's, you know, that it's bigger than a tax increase. To the consumer, you get a dollar increase in gasoline, that's bigger than a tax hike, than a big tax hike. So it's a terrible thing that's happening. And then let's talk about tax hikes. They'll be raising taxes at the highest number that we've ever seen. It'll be the biggest tax increase in the history of our country to pay for everything. And it's a very devastating thing. It's a very sad thing to watch. Fortunately, in my administration and through what I did, frankly, and others, but what I did with the FDA is I forced them to move quickly, and we got the vaccine done in 9 months instead of 5 years. I don't think it would have ever been done, frankly, because according to their rules and regulations, they would have never had it. But we got a vaccine done in 9 months, and fortunately, that's not only going to save our country, it's going to save the world.
Well, I'm glad you brought this up, Mr. President, because we just heard from President Biden last week on Thursday. He gave his first primetime speech, as you know, and he said that when the coronavirus first showed up, and that was at the beginning of 2020 when we did have a 3.5% unemployment rate, as you just noted. But he said that when the coronavirus first arrived, it was met with silence for days and weeks and then months. There was no word of your Warp Speed program. How are you feeling tonight about the fact that you're not getting any credit for any of this by the Biden administration? In fact, even when it comes to the border, Nancy Pelosi this weekend said that the Biden administration inherited the border issues from the Trump administration.
So when you go to the COVID issue, we did a great job. We get very little credit for it. I closed the country far earlier. Dr. Fauci and Birx and all of these people that frankly made nothing but mistakes, they didn't want to do it. They didn't want to close it to China. I closed the border to China. I closed the border to Europe, Italy, and all these countries that were having tremendous problems long before they wanted me to do it. And if you look at Biden, he didn't want to do it months afterwards, and then ultimately he admitted that he made a mistake in saying that. If I didn't do that, we would have had hundreds of thousands of more lives gone. But the big thing is what I've always felt it was the most important is the vaccine. The key was always going to be the vaccine. And when Biden got the vaccine in December, and on January 20th, he made a statement that he doesn't think we have vaccines. Now, I don't know, did he make that statement as a statement, or did he not actually know we had the vaccine? What's going on there? But he got his shot. He got his first shot in December, December 21st, I believe. So with the vaccines and with the job we've done with COVID, I inherited an empty cupboard. Biden failed very badly with the H1N1, with the, as you know, the he had a chance to do something, and they had a tremendous, tremendous failure, H1N1. It was a disaster. And now he's taking over this. What he's taken over, warp speed, we had it, our military, what they've done in terms of delivery has been incredible, incredible.
Yeah.
And we gave up to 1.3 million shots a day before he even took over. So not only did we have the vaccine, and one thing we did, we took a big bet on this. We started manufacturing the vaccine before we really knew it worked. We saved many, many months and millions of lives by doing that, because you wouldn't have the vaccine right now if we didn't take that chance. We knew what we were doing. We knew that we felt strongly it was going to work, and we took a risk, and the risk was spending billions of dollars to develop it before we knew and before we had the approval that it was going to work. It works incredibly well, 95%, maybe even more than that. It works incredibly well, and it's really saving our country, and it's saving, frankly, the world.
So, Mr. President, I know that you received the vaccine. Mrs. Trump also got the vaccine. Would you recommend to our audience that they get the vaccine then?
I would. I would recommend it, and I would recommend it to a lot of people that don't want to get it, and a lot of those people voted for me, frankly. But, you know, again, we have our freedoms, and we have to live by that, and I agree with that also. But it's a great vaccine. It's a safe vaccine, and it's something that works. And we've been working round the clock, and what I got the FDA to do, this would have happened. This would have happened in many, many years from now if I didn't get involved and if we didn't get involved.
Yeah, tell me more about that. I remember you were talking about when you were in office, you were talking about the meeting that you held with the major pharmaceutical company heads, and you were garnering all of their support to work together to ensure that a vaccine was on the market as soon as possible. And you said that one issue that you were trying to do was to alleviate any bureaucracies within the FDA. How was it that you were able to encourage a vaccine on the market within 9 months? That was quite extraordinary.
Well, I wouldn't say the FDA loves me, but I pushed them very, very hard, harder than they've ever been pushed. And a number of the people in the FDA admitted that, and at the end they were very happy. But they did not like me. In fact, they wanted to announce it sometime after the election because they just didn't. I think most people knew we pretty much had the vaccine before the election, but they wanted to announce it along with the drug companies, who are not fans of mine, because if you look at favored nations and all of the things I've done to bring down drug prices, nobody's ever done what I've done. But that cost the drug companies a lot of money. In fact, they took tens of millions of dollars of commercials. So they wanted to announce the vaccine after, and I understand that, but somebody had to do it. You will see drug prices, if Biden leaves it alone, you will see drug prices. Favored nations means we get the price of the lowest nation, whoever pays the lowest, we get that price. Right now we're the highest in the world. We will be the lowest in the world, meaning tied for the lowest in the world. The drug companies were very unhappy with that. They never thought anybody would do it, but I did it. So with the vaccine, I pushed the FDA at a level that they've never been pushed before, and they got it done in 9 months instead of 5 years. Now, the 5 years I think would have never happened because I don't think they would have ever gotten it done.
Okay. Yeah, all right. I think I pushed the right button. There we go. Well, there you go. This thing at the border, guys, it is horrible. And I have a feeling, I have a very, 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 very strong feeling that coming up next Tuesday, our pal Michael Cutler will be with us, and he will be expounding upon this in great detail. This thing is a mess, all right? It's a straight-up mess, and it's not an accident. It's not incompetence. It is design. Frightening. It's just so secure. Anytime people tell you that they're going to be the most transparent, honest, forthcoming, thrifty, brave, reverent, loyal administration in the history of all administrations. They are lying to you. You understand me? Okay, so let's just get that. Where is Psaki? Jen, sweetheart, where you at? You're down here in the P's for a psychotic prevaricator. Rehab. Oh, come on. Where are you, man? She did a – here's what's going on. They've got this mess down there. Now, again, personally, I think that it is designed. I really do. I think it's designed. There's been an unofficial blackout. So, in other words, you've got them. Journalists aren't allowed to go down there. They're not allowed to look the place over. They're not allowed to report about anything. They're not allowed to take pictures. The Biden crew has instructed all government officials to just not talk to reporters. They're saying that they're doing all this in the name of COVID. But, yeah, okay. Here's Jen Psaki. Somebody compared her press conferences and the way she answers questions to a fifth grader giving a book report, an oral book report on a book they had not read. And, yeah, I'll buy that.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Jen. I just kind of want to pick up on
sure.
Mary's questioning over there. Is the White House or DHS instructing border agents to refuse ride-along requests from reporters? Because that's what a lot of our folks on the ground are hearing.
Again, I think we've seen, watching a number of the reports you all do, a number of Border Patrol officials who are quoted in them, who are appear in them, and certainly from the White House, we support that. It's coordinated through the Department of Homeland Security, and I'd point you to them for any additional questions about the logistics of press access.
But, I mean, our reporters used to be able to get ride-alongs during the Trump administration,
mm-hmm.
and you all came in and promised to be the most truthful and transparent administration, and you all, you know, oversee the Department of Homeland Security. So if you all wanted to grant access to the press, couldn't you just tell DHS to do it?
Again, we fully support transparency, and I would encourage you to talk to the Department of Homeland Security about any requests you have for press access or what you're looking to accomplish.
And then they're gonna refer you back to the White House. They're going to refer you back to the press secretary. Yeah, transparent. We can see through that crap. I promise you, there is reason, and it's a very obvious one, there is reason that the Biden administration has put a press blackout on this situation. It's the same reason that the Obama administration put a press blackout on this situation, because the conditions are not good, okay? As a matter of fact, given the numbers, the conditions are probably even worse than they were in the Obama administration. Now, Joe tells us repeatedly, crisis, what crisis? There's a crisis? What? Okay. Well, if there's no crisis, why did they have FEMA down there? If there's no emergency at the border, why do they have the Federal Emergency Management Administration down there to manage it? Oh, and the guy, who is that dude? Shoot, I can't remember his name now. He's now the head of Homeland Security. Sheesh. I was looking at him just the other day. Hosagaya Hawasaki. Border crisis. Let's look under the border crisis. I bet we'll find him there somewhere. Mayorkas. Alejandro Mayorkas. who says we will not expel the little children who cross the U.S.-Mexico border on a comedy. Anyway, Mayorkas says it's not a big deal. It's not a big deal. We don't, you know, we just need FEMA and maybe a few thousand volunteers. Volunteers. No kidding. Dude, they were calling for volunteers. I guess help not manage this not emergency un-crisis that's happening. And this clown, too. Here's something else. The Mayorkas guy. They're talking with him. And it's a hearing before the Homeland Security Committee. And Representative Kat Kamik from Florida asked Alejandra Mayorkas about illegal alien crime victims. And specifically, she was talking about a young girl named Amber Scott. She's 19 years old. She's a high school cheerleader in Douglas County, Colorado. She was kidnapped at Knife Point in 2006 by 25-year-old illegal alien Pedro Martinez. Martinez had already been deported to his native Mexico after three felony drug convictions, but he returned illegally to the United States later day. He was sentenced for life in prison without the possibility of parole of May 2007. So he's in, and the full exchange goes like this. This was the case she was using as an example. And Representative Kamik says, I'm from a small town out west. And the month before I was supposed to graduate high school, which was 2006, one of my classmates was kidnapped by an illegal who had been deported multiple times. And I think when you have policies that incentivize folks to come over illegally and we don't have the proper mechanisms in place to protect our borders, that kind of impact has resounding effects. So my question to you, and her name was Amber Scott, the young lady who was kidnapped by this illegal criminal. And how many more Ambers have to be kidnapped across America before you'll take action?
Now, this is what the chairman of the Department of Health of Human Services says. Homeland Security, rather. I'm sorry. Department of Homeland Security. This is what he says. Congresswoman, I find that question to be extraordinarily disrespectful. Disrespectful not only to me, but disrespectful to the men and women of Homeland Security and to all the frontline personnel throughout the country who dedicate themselves to the safety and security of the American people. What in that? What?
Four years, guys. This is what we're looking at for the next 4 years.
That kind of attitude. And it's not going to be just at Homeland Security. It's going to be at the Department of Education. It's going to be at the Department of the Interior. It's going to be everywhere. It's going to be at the Department of Health and Human Services.
And if you want further proof
of one of two things, it's proof of one of two things, and it may be proof of both. I don't know. The border, our southern border, fundamentally is a sieve, and it's just porous, and it's just running these people through. Nobody's getting checked for the China virus. Nobody. Nobody's getting vaccinated for the China virus. They're not even trying to protect the border people down there that are the frontline people that are having to deal with this Joe Obama mess. And on Tuesday night, I talked about the possibility, you know, they don't want to check these guys from China virus because they're going to just spread them through to the heavier populated urban areas where they can continue these lockdowns. Is it crazy? Yeah, maybe, but look who we're dealing with.
Or
it's just proof that the China virus is not really that big a deal to the 99% of the population. It's got to be one of the two, and maybe it's both. Speaking of the Rona, Rand Paul gets into it with Dr. Anthony Fauci on the mask thing, and this is terrific. Where is it? Mask. Okay, here we go. This was from just the other day. Fauci was back in, and Rand Paul, no slouch in the medical field himself, being an optic surgeon, here's what he has to say in the back and forth. It's pretty good, and, well, you'll see who comes out on top.
Dr. Fauci, in a recent British study, David Wiley and others found that no symptomatic reinfections from COVID-19 after following 2,800 patients for several months. In fact, there have been no reports of significant numbers of reinfections after acquiring COVID-19 naturally. Shane Crotty, a virologist at La Jolla Institute for Immunology, concludes from his experiments that the amount of immune memory gained from natural infection would likely prevent the vast majority of people from getting hospitalized disease, severe disease for many years. In this study, which was published in Science, Dr. Crotty showed that antibody levels stayed relatively constant with only modest declines over 6 to 8 months. Dr. Crotty reported that, notably, memory B cells specific for the spike protein, or RBD, were detected in almost all COVID-19 cases with no apparent half-life at 5 to 8 months after infection. In other words, Dr. Crotty found significant evidence of long-term immunity after COVID infection. Furthermore, Dr. Crotty noted B-cell memory to some other infections has been observed for as long as 60-plus years after smallpox vaccination, or even 90 years after natural infection with influenza. That was a woman who got the Spanish flu, still showed immunity 90 years later. So rather than being pessimistic towards people gaining immunity after they've had COVID or had a vaccine, studies argue for significant optimism. In fact, there have been no scientific studies arguing or proving that infection with COVID does not create immunity. There have been no studies showing significant numbers of reinfections. Of the 30 million Americans who have had COVID, only a handful of reinfections have been discovered. In fact, the New York Times reported last fall more than 38 million people at the time worldwide had been infected with the coronavirus, and as of that date, fewer than 5 of these cases had been confirmed by scientists to be reinfections. Scientists interviewed for the article concluded, in most cases, a second bout with the virus produced milder symptoms or none at all. Given that no scientific studies have shown significant numbers of reinfections of patients previously infected or previously vaccinated, what specific studies do you cite to argue that the public should be wearing masks well into 2022?
I'm not sure I understand the connection of what you're saying about masks and reinfection. We're talking about people who have never been infected before.
You're telling everybody to wear a mask, whether they've had an infection or a vaccine. What I'm saying is they have immunity, and everybody agrees they have immunity. What studies do you have that people that have had the vaccine or have had the infection are spreading the infection? If we're not spreading the infection, isn't it just theater?
No, it's not.
You had the vaccine, and you're wearing 2 masks. Isn't that theater?
No, that's not. Here we go again with the theater. Let's get down to the facts. Okay, the studies that you quote from Crotty and Sette look at in vitro examination of memory immunity, which in their paper they specifically say this does not necessarily pertain to the actual protection. It's in vitro.
And what study can you point to that shows significant reinfection? There are no studies that show significant reinfection.
Let me finish the response to your question, if you please. The other thing is that when you talk about reinfection and you don't keep in the concept of variants, that's an entirely different ball game. That's a good reason for a mask. In the South African study conducted by J&J, they found that people who were infected with wild type and were exposed to the variant in South Africa, the 351, it was as if they had never been infected before. They had no protection. So when you talk about reinfection, you've got to make sure you're talking about wild type. I agree with you that you very likely would have protection from wild type for at least 6 months if you're infected. But we in our country now have variants that are circulating.
Significant reinfection. What study shows significant reinfection, hospitalization, and death after either natural infection or the vaccine? It doesn't exist. There is no evidence that there are significant reinfections after vaccine. In fact, I don't think we have a hospitalization in the United States after the two-week period after the second vaccination. We don't have a death in the United States.
You're not hearing what I'm saying about variants. We're talking about wild type versus variants.
And what proof is there that there are significant reinfections with hospitalizations and death from the variants? None in our country. Zero.
Well, because we don't have a prevalent of a variant yet. We're having one. Can I finish? We're having 117 that's becoming more dominant.
You're making policy based on conjecture.
It isn't based on conjecture.
Variants, so you want people to wear a mask for another couple years.
No.
You've been vaccinated, and you parade around in two masks for show.
No.
You can't get it again. There's virtually 0% chance you're going to get it, and yet you're telling people that have had the vaccine, who have immunity. You're defying everything we know about immunity by telling people to wear a mask who've been vaccinated.
No.
Instead, you should be saying there is no science to say we're going to have a problem from the large number of people being vaccinated. You want to get rid of vaccine hesitancy? Tell them they can quit wearing their mask after they get the vaccine. Okay. You want people to get the vaccine? Give them a reward instead of telling them that the nanny state's going to be there for 3 more years and you got to wear a mask forever. People don't want to hear it. There's no science behind it.
Well, let me just state for the record that masks are not theater. Masks are protective. And we
have immunity there, theater. If you already have immunity, you're wearing a mask to give comfort to others. You're not wearing a mask because of any science.
I totally disagree with you.
Dr. Fauci, if you could respond so that we could understand the difference between the...
Okay. Now, that was awesome. And what did the guy... He was totally unprepared for any of the questions. He was totally unprepared to rebut anything that Rand Paul said. And he was absolutely right when he said that Dr. Fauci they were executing policy and creating policy based on conjecture. Will it kill you? Yeah, some of you. Let's talk about the flu. Will it kill you? Yeah, some of you. And I'm not trying to marginalize it. I got to get out of here quick because it's time for El Guapo to come on, and I want to get off and let him take over. So I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll just go ahead and stop right there, and I'm going to bring him up now. Mark, are you there?
I don't know. Am I here? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. I don't know if anybody else can hear you, but I think whatever we've got going on, we're on the air somehow. Let's not waste it. I'll get off of here. You have a terrific show. Ladies and gentlemen, the one, the only, the handsome one, El Guapo, Mark Hoffman. Have a great show, bud.
Yes, indeed. Ladies and gentlemen, that is James Bostic and a conservative's perspective heard 2 nights a week right here on the Patriot Nation Radio Network. Be sure to check him out Tuesdays and Thursdays. www.blogtalkradio.com/Patriot Nation. But you know that because you're here already. But you can share that with everybody you know. Let them know that we are live Tuesdays and Thursdays with a conservative's perspective. And alternating Mondays, we have United Patriots Uprising. Sorry, Jesus Christ, I'm crying out loud. It's been months and months, and I still screw that up. With Gary Binford. Last week's show was pretty incredible. He is really getting great guests and a pleasure and an honor to work with at the Patriot Nation Radio Network. That's a fact, Jack.
You are listening to Patriot Nation Radio Live, 347-637-3942.
That's right, folks. United Patriots Uprising with Gary Binford. We got it. All right, man, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to talk to my friend Chuck. He's on the line. We are talking tonight Fukushima 10 years later, folks. It's unbelievable. And you won't believe what you're going to hear here. The radiation numbers and places where Fukushima radiation and radioactive particles are showing up. We'll be talking about some of that kind of neat stuff. And you just won't believe your mind. We're going to blow your mind tonight on the Patriot Nation Radio Show. Stick around, folks.
Thank you for listening to Patriot Nation Radio. 347-637-3942.
Attention, conservatives. Big social media is targeting conservatives like you and me in an effort to silence us and the truth. The free speech social media that you have waited for is here at LibertyRush.com. No longer do you have to be distracted by fake news. Join the war on fake news at LibertyRush.com. The official alternative with no libtard rhetoric. Guaranteed. LibertyRush.com.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Dave Bray, America's favorite patriotic rocker, and you are listening to Patriot Nation Radio Network.
I never knew about at a funeral or like the last day when an officer has passed, and they actually go and the dispatch will close basically down the radio air for emergency only. And then she will call the badge number, or he will call the badge number from dispatch, and obviously there's never an answer. Brave soul has passed away in the line of duty. Felt like something needed to be done or to recognize that. And that's what the song is about, basically. It's about an officer who's, you know, gone down in the line of duty, and, you know, he's given his all. And, you know, when they do reach out for the last call, he answers back, and these are his words. And one thing a lot of people don't know, I know a lot of cops, you know, in and out of uniform. They are very human, just like you and I. Pick and choose what laws they uphold, but they have to uphold the ones that are put in place by our representatives. And our representatives are the people that we put in office. And the same people that are out there with their signs are the same people that are putting lunatics in office. Here's the wake-up call, people. Don't come down on the men and women in blue for doing their job. Come down on your representatives for passing these BS laws, and get involved in your political on a local level and fix what the problem is. Fix the problems in our laws today. Get involved in your local politics and get moving. Get moving in America. Become a citizen. A citizen doesn't mean you sit back and collect a paycheck from the government. A citizen means you are a part of the government, a part of the citizenry, a part of the voting and voicing public. And that's what I think the song says more over than anything else. And if people want to hear it, because I know they do, please go to Dave Bray, USA, right now on Facebook. That's D-A-V-E-B-R-A-Y,
DaveBrayUSA.com. Music on a Mission, the Storyteller Edition. And new music coming out on a regular basis now. A new record will be coming out here soon. We heard the new song here on the show recently. We had Dave as one of our featured guests regularly on the Patriot Nation Radio Show. America's most patriotic rocker, Dave Bray, DaveBrayUSA.com. Go over there and get yourself some merch, some music, and some smiles as rock and roll soothes the soul, ladies and gentlemen. It certainly soothes my soul. Oh, man, don't worry, there's no border crisis. Nothing's happening down there on the border. Joe Biden's still waiting to field serious questions from the media. He gets a lot of milquetoast questions. And, of course, no crisis at the border. And Governor Cuomo will be the next elected representative or next nominated representative for the Democratic candidate for president in 2024. I fully believe it. And he will probably have Anthony Weiner as his vice presidential candidate. Cuomo Weiner, 24. That sounds funny. Cuomo Weiner. Holy crow. I'm going to send that into the Beavis and Butthead. Maybe it'll sound better. Yeah, yeah. Cuomo Weiner. Yeah. Yeah. You know? Anyway, let's get off of that. We got some serious issues going on, folks. Fukushima, 10 years later. Unbelievable. Leaking. radioactive material for 10 years and more. We got Chuck Hinman. Chuck Hinman's been following these numbers and this disaster since it happened back in 2011. I believe it was like March 10th or something like that, 2011. So we are 10 years and a week since Fukushima got destroyed by a tsunami and an earthquake. More than 100,000 people displaced. I believe 18,000 people died as a result of the earthquake and the tsunami. And it's just ridiculous. And the people have not returned. We're going to bring in our featured guest, Chuck, who's been, like I said, following these numbers for a long time now. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the show, our good friend, Chuck Hindman. What's happening, Chuck? Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Mark. It's been a while since we've done this, hasn't it?
Cuomo Wiener. Come on, that sounds funny. It would be great to watch that going across the screens of America. Holy moly. These guys are going to run free, and they're not going to be in trouble, and it's insane. But whatever. How are you, Chuck?
Doing all right. It's been a while since we've done a show like this, hasn't it?
Yes, you know, and the shocking thing to me is that we can still do shows on a disaster that happened 10 years ago.
And people still don't understand what's going on every day.
And that nobody cares and nobody even thinks about it. So now we're going to maybe raise some eyebrows and make people think about it a little bit as this disaster continues. What folks don't seem to understand is a meltdown is a meltdown. It takes years and years. It never stops. Am I correct?
No, especially when they're in what they call China syndrome. They just
right.
keep melting.
We watched the movie, Jack Lemmon. And that was just a hint what they showed in that movie. So people have a broader understanding because this is out of the minds of people. Just fill them in a little bit of the events that took place in Japan in the Fukushima area that destroyed this reactor, a couple of reactors.
Reactors 1 through 4 were damaged or destroyed.
So 4 reactors then, not just 1 reactor, but 4.
So that kind of depends on which newscast you're following. Some say 4, some say 3, but what they don't tell you is some of those buildings have multiple reactors in them.
Right. And then you got, how many are in full meltdown as the China syndrome, as they say?
I think there's 3 of them.
So there's 3 in full. And
I think it was reactor 4. They've never found any fuel out of it, so it's completely gone.
Right. And they are using the seawater to cool it?
Yep, and the salt from the sea is what is creating the mess.
Right.
But it'd be a bigger mess without it because you got to keep things cool somehow.
Right on. So the water that they're using from the Pacific Ocean swirls around the reactors, and then where does it go from there?
It goes back out to the ocean.
And it's radioactive, correct?
Correct. Plus, you got to look at the fact that the reactors are built, and get this, on a fault line?
Right.
On a beach. What is a beach made out of?
Didn't anybody learn anything from the Bible? You know, he who has to build his house on the sand, he who builds his house on the rock. And they're going to build nuclear reactors on the beach, on a fault line, in the Ring of Fire. Holy moly. I don't mean to laugh. It's not really funny. It's kind of shocking, and it's pretty stupid. So
well,
I guess
I can blow you a little bit further. Pull up the U.S. Fault lines, overlay U.S. nuclear reactors on it, and you'll find out, same thing here.
Right.
So no, nobody learned any from any mistakes.
It's crazy. So as far as I can tell, it seems like they've put a lot of reactors, not only in America, but around the world, near fault lines or on the shoreline.
Shoreline
is understandable.
Because they require a lot of water.
Right, so they're using the water. Are most of these reactors, do they all spill radioactive material into the water ocean on purpose?
Well, they cycle, and you got your pro and your negatives, as in pro-nuclear or pro or negative nuclear, but you know, no matter how you look at it, even right here in the U.S., depending on which how you search it, 75 to 82%, there's 7% giveaway there of our own nuclear reactors are leaking right here in this country.
Right. And plus, a lot of them are old now, right?
They're all overworked, out of date, out of safety record, and still running.
All right. So we have part of our radio team, our good friend. She helps produce some of the shows, Melissa. And our host, they live in the on the coastal area in the Virginia area, West Virginia area, and they're listening and like, holy moly, nuclear reactors! And what did they miss? So I'm going to tell her what she missed. Is there any readings that you can find that have numbers in West Virginia?
I am going there right now.
So now what we want to do first is lay out the numbers, say, in 1995. Oh, wait, let's see. We'll say 91. We'll say 20 years, 30 years ago, 1991, what the danger levels for radioactive materials or isotopes was, you know, getting dangerous when it's time to hit the road, and holy moly, you're going to fry if you don't leave. And then we'll
back far enough, you will find the data. And the data I'm referring to is 4 to 20 counts per minute was known to be normal.
4 to 20 counts per minute is normal?
Was.
Okay. Was.
And 50 counts per minute was known to be abnormal.
Right.
100 counts per...
So 50 counts is getting high, like, oh, my goodness, we better start looking over here. There could be a problem. That's 50 counts per minute.
And 100 counts per minute was an alert or warning level.
Okay.
And 300 counts per minute was known to be the evacuation slash hazmat level.
300 parts per minute would be
counts
evacuate hazmat. Going to call in the team. They're going to be doing a cleanup over here. 300 per minute.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
And I'm
so
looking
now,
at Charleston, West Virginia chart and graph right now.
So in Charleston, West
highest,
Virginia.
The highest peak spot was November, the week of November 21st through the 28th. They spiked to just over 8,000 counts per minute.
8,000 counts per minute. Radioactive material in West Virginia, Charleston, West Virginia, and in 1991, approximately, or sooner, 300 was, holy crap, evacuate and call the hazmat team. So 300, 8,000, holy.
A steady line in Charleston, they are constantly running, I'm going to say, the bottom of the graph
crazy.
Is 1,000 counts per minute, the middle of the graph is 10,000 counts, and they are floating just above dead center,
right.
Between 1,000 and 10,000.
Now, folks, I don't know if you know, but I see our friend here in our chat, Melissa, who lives in this area of West Virginia, where we're over 8,000 parts per minute, is saying that could explain all the cancer deaths the last couple of years. You can guarantee that that's part of the reason. There's nuclear particles throughout the whole region at 8,000 counts per minute.
Not only cancer, though, Mark. We got to look at the fact the human body can't put up with this. So look at the dementia rates that have gone through the roof.
Right. Dementia. I wonder if it's any of these other things like Parkinson's disease or any other
it's
disease.
It's all affecting the brain.
Affect.
So your guess is more of a common sense knowledge than some of your experts want to admit.
Right. It's really unbelievable. And these counts are in every state, they're like these numbers. It's not just,
right.
You would think it would only be like California, Oregon, Washington. So how does radioactive waste at 8,000 plus counts per minute wind up in West Virginia from Fukushima, Japan?
Well, you've got Fukushima leaking every day into the ocean.
Right.
And then you've got to look at the fact the evaporation of the ocean,
yep.
What is still steaming out of Fukushima,
yep.
Travels, jet stream travels from the west to the east. When it rides the jet stream, it circles. The pollutants circle this planet about every 40 days.
Right.
And we've got 10 years of circulation.
Every 40 days, 10 years of circulation. So what happens to the Corn Belt?
Everybody's trying to grow food in the toxic soup mix.
Right. So we really, really have right now acid rain. The thing they told us about when we were kids, if we didn't watch out and put pollution controls on the cars, thank you, Jimmy Carter, that we would have acid rain. So we really have acid rain right now.
Let me put it to you this way. I'm looking at an article. Granted, it's an old article that came out last year. But
right.
I know you've seen it. You've circulated it.
Yep.
170 million in U.S. drinking radioactive tap water right here in the United States.
And what? How many was that again?
170 million Americans.
Wow. 170 million Americans. So that's about 35% of the population is drinking radioactive tap water at this moment.
And these articles, you know, they were trying to throw someone under the bus saying it was his fault. But guess what? This all started long before he was president. So, you know, you got to understand some of the writings on some of these articles when they were throwing everybody under the bus. But, you know, you can't cure a problem that's been going on for generations overnight or in 4 years.
Right. It's amazing. Another number I like to try is Maine, because I have a cousin up in Maine, and that's like the almost as far away from Fukushima as you can get is Maine. And at one point when we were doing these shows a couple of years back, because we've been, I don't know, we've probably been covering this for 5 years now, the numbers in Maine were some of the highest in the nation, and as far away from Fukushima as you can get.
Yeah, they're flatlining right around 5,000, 6,000.
In Maine. That's crazy. But that number's come way down. I think at some point it was like 13,000 counts.
They were spiking just above it. Well, you got to remember, this follows the jet stream. So,
yeah.
You know, if the jet stream hasn't been hitting the area for a while, your numbers are going to be a little lower.
Right, right. That's like kind of crazy because now everybody eats corn, and we know that the rain is watering the corn, soybean, tomatoes. Is there any escape from the radioactive particles that are in the air and in the environment from this disaster? Can you make food that's not contaminated? Is it possible, do you think, or can people make uncontaminated food?
Greenhouse, you can have lower levels. I don't think you're ever going to get rid of it now because, you know, when I first fired this up, doing these radio shows on the one-year anniversary or just short of the one-year anniversary, so you know, I've been doing these programs for 9 years plus. If people would have listened to the warning then, we'd be in a lot better shape than we are now.
Right. It's 10 years now, folks. And we're talking
now,
about...
I want everybody to stop and think. You know, Mark, you and I come from a generation when we got schooled, the diagrams, you know, you got to... You drew the charts yourself, the ocean, the evaporation, the cloud production, and then it coming back down in our grass and our grazing and everything. So stop thinking about that set. When it rains, snows, sleet, hails, whatever, it's in the upper atmosphere. So it gets particles. So we've got 10 years plus now, 10 years and a week, dealing with Fukushima. Before that,
right.
We had Chernobyl and Three Mile Island and, you know, every other nuclear reactor in the world. So, you know, and like I said, depending on which articles who you look at, between 75% and 82% of our own reactors are leaking. So, you know, when you look at the fact of what's going on nuclear-wise, it's in our grass, it's in what our cattle graze, our hogs, sheep, whatever. So then they get contaminated. So it's in the milk, it's in the dairy, it's in our meat, it's in our bacon, it's everything we touch. And then we grow our vegetables in it, our wheat for bread, you know, corn for a corn chip. You know, everything we touch now has contamination in it.
Right.
Like I said, 170 million Americans are drinking radioactive water. Come on. What did we expect by letting nuclear get as big and powerful as they are?
Right. And what is the prognosis after all of this? It's never going to end. It's going to always be here. What's the prognosis, the general prognosis for the environment? They have all these people, Green New Deal, you got to get rid of oil and all this other stuff because we're going to save the world. What's the ramifications?
In that new Green Deal, you know what they're wanting to use for energy source, right?
Windmills.
Oh, you're funny. I'm looking for it. I'm going to give you an article that's going to blow you away even more.
All righty.
I don't know if it showed up here or I may have gone by it. I didn't think.
Right. It's not there yet. I didn't see the article
pop
up. They
took it off.
Wow.
They took it off. Anyway, yeah, after the election and all the nonsense, the Democratic Party was citing all of the stuff for nuclear. They were pushing nuclear.
Right.
Imagine that, huh?
And, you know, that old hag sold 20% of the uranium that we mine out of the country to the enemy. So,
I didn't realize that they took it off until I went looking for it. It's not here.
That's crazy.
And I posted it, and I know there was comments made on it, so, because it was in my notifications, but it's gone. They took them down.
They do that a lot these days on those social media pages. Hey, we got a guy on the line.
Yeah.
He wants to come on the line and make a statement and talk about this real fast. Let's bring on a guest, a caller real fast. His name is Joe, I believe.
Yeah, you're right. Joe's my name.
Hey, Joe, what's happening? Welcome
to
the show.
How you guys doing? Thanks. Pretty good. Somebody had mentioned the term good reactor, and that's what kind of triggered me. The thing is, in my opinion, no such thing as a good nuclear reactor. And apparently
right.
from the discussion you two guys are having, it seems like you two might agree with me on that, especially upon the facts that you were just presenting.
Yes. Not
now,
my favorite type
yeah.
of energy.
Yeah, and the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, who had bamboozled the public and probably bribed the politicians 20 years ago or more, to build these things, were, of course, making us believe that it would be safer, it would be better, it would be cheaper. I don't know, maybe you guys probably have the stats. In those areas where the nuclear reactors are located, and if the community is truly dependent upon them, have their rates gone down in the past 20 years, or have they gone up?
Cancer rates have gone through the roof.
Okay.
Right. Everywhere.
Right.
Everywhere the rates are going through the roof.
So that particular promise of lowering the rates is right out the window, and we're stuck
yep.
with atomic bombs. They won't blow up as atomic bombs. They will do the damage as Chernobyl. They will sail across the seas like, I think it was Fukushima.
Yep.
And so the cause-benefit analysis is no good. But they bamboozled us into doing it, and I'd like to know, other than the money of the people who were given the contract to build the reactors, what would be the reason for building it?
Well, maybe I believe they were sold a false narrative in the beginning, and they all fell for it, and they poured their money into it, and then realized later on that it was dangerous and said, well, we got them now. What are we going to do? So now they use nuclear power, and that's it. We're stuck. And these things will sit there radioactive for years and years and years after they're shut down. It's crazy.
Well, yeah, but who's the they you're talking about? Are you talking about the people who actually spent $1 billion per reactor to build the reactor?
Yeah, like, who really, who is they, you know, when we say they? I guess the people in the power industry, they're not in the gas and oil industry, because the guys in the gas and oil industry don't want nuclear power because it cuts into their profits. So whoever's... I guess the Nuclear Regulation Committee and the government officials and people that are making the money. Who makes all the money?
I can understand those who want to build the reactors have the monetary incentive. My question, though, is on the spectrum of what I understood from what you just finished saying. It was as though they believed that nuclear reactors would be safe. I don't understand how anybody could believe, even if you're building them, that
right.
they would be safe when you take into consideration the leak that they're built near water. I think Three Mile Island has the dubious distinction of being built right on top of the Hudson River or whatever the water
yep.
actually built on top. So if it did have the China syndrome, it would automatically gusher out tons and tons and tons of radioactive waste into the atmosphere.
Yep.
So luckily, Three Mile Island didn't disappear. It came close, but it didn't. So to me, it's just like the people in Congress. They don't care what happens to America as long as they get their million bucks.
Yep. 100%.
And, you know, you mentioned Three Mile Island. Now, you've got Indian Point out north of Washington, D.C. that's leaking just like Fukushima down the river. You've got Turkey Point down our east or west of Miami that's leaking into the Gulf Coast. And over the years, we've had all of that dolphins and ocean life wash up on the coast, in the Gulf Coast, and nobody can understand why. But when you've got a nuclear facility down there, Turkey Point, leaking into that Gulf Coast, just like Fukushima, how do you expect anything to live, let alone live through that and the eruption that they had to deal with the oil still down there, you know? That Gulf Coast is ultimately almost doomed.
Yeah, well, it is doomed. There are pockets of no air in the ocean.
Uh-huh.
That's amazing. It's like watching an episode of Twilight Zone where fish go into the zone, and if they can die from lack of oxygen. So, do you guys know if that particular phenomenon is contributed to by the nuclear reactor?
I would have to say at 100%.
You think so?
We don't need them.
We don't need them.
They're out of date. The technology is overused, overrated. They need to go. And, you know, they were trying to build a new one, and it got halted. It got shut down. And I imagine now that we've got a new administration and whatnot, I'd almost bet they're going to start continuing to try to finish that one.
Absolutely. And if they were trying to shut it down, it takes 6 years to decommission them before they shut it down anyway.
Right. And then after it does shut down, it sits there radioactive for decades, polluting.
Right. They don't want to touch the plutonium. So here we are. I mean, all of this could not be foreseen. You know, it always amazes me at how people make excuses about how things cannot be done properly when we have supposedly people flying around the Earth. We have the Voyager or whatever the name is on Mars now, which combated the heat of the surface of Mars, which is supposed to have been pretty close to the surface of the sun. We have the Hubble telescope. We have a lot of things solved with mathematics, yet we just can't seem to solve other problems.
Right. Sometimes makes you wonder, like, the technology today, you would think they would look like they want the closing of the pipeline and the getting rid of the oil industry, right? Because they want to use green energy, windmills and solar panels. I'm all for alternative energy. Don't get me wrong. But we should probably wait till we perfect something, make it really good.
Good point.
And then implement it slowly. Not go, okay, no oil today, and sooner or later we'll have an alternate source.
You know? That's common sense.
And if you guys want a new job, go get a union job building solar panels for $9 an hour instead of making you $60 an hour on the pipeline.
Oh, yeah. How many people were shut down on the pipeline? Was it 11,000 or 111,000?
I saw 11,000 directly from the pipeline the day that he signed the executive order.
11,000.
The number is increasing across the country. That's why 21 states are now suing the Biden administration over the Keystone Pipeline. 21 attorneys general have signed a letter to these people and said, look, you made a big mistake putting people out of work. What is wrong with you?
Not to take you guys off point, but if you have 21 states suing, and I'm a person who believed there was definitely election fraud, which means that the corruption of the United States government and the governors of the various states are still in place, I would just have to say good luck with the attorneys general trying to get something done with that.
Right. You're probably 1,000% right. I don't think nothing's going to happen. Just like I don't know if you were listening earlier, Joe, when I was I was talking about the next candidates for the Democratic Party, the Democratic nominee for president in 24 will be like Andrew Cuomo and Anthony Weiner. Cuomo Weiner, 24.
Sure.
You
and
know?
Don't forget the other potential nominee, AOC with Shalib.
Yeah, you know. The all-woman team.
We are really in very dangerous times. I expected the kind of fraud. No, I'm sorry. I expected something really hugely corrupt by the government coming down the pike. But for the election fraud to be that, to be of that magnitude, to be that effective, it got me by surprise, I have to tell you.
And they're still saying, no, it never happened. But then you see what some of these things that are coming down now. And if president's winning a couple of these things, like the attorney general broke the law in, what was it, Michigan, I guess, you know, that they're breaking the law. But nothing happened. It's so crazy. Joe, I predicted this with the gubernatorial race in Florida when Andrew Gillum's friends and family were found with ballots in trunks of cars and rent-a-cars in airport parking garages, and no one got in trouble. I said, no one got in trouble. This was the testing ground. Wait till the presidential election. I called it. I nailed it.
Well, you got
I
it,
knew
but
it was
not me.
Happen.
It got me by surprise. I mean, even if it was only four swing states, when Giuliani goes in front of the state legislatures, which is their purview and their jurisdiction, and they do nothing, even if either Pennsylvania or Georgia said that they actually believe that there was major interference and nothing is done?
Mike Lindell put out his little video there where he laid it all out. They have all the proof. He hadn't showed the paper, showed the numbers, showed everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
Showed it all, and still nothing. I don't understand. It makes no sense. The swamp is so deep that we're all just going to go down in the quicksand. It's the only way. I hate to say it, but I believe that a total collapse of this country is the only thing that will save this country.
I'm going to disagree with you, but I understand where you're coming from. The reason why I disagree is because...
Too many patriots.
Huh?
There's too many patriots.
Too many patriots?
Yeah. Not football players.
Yeah, I know. But what do you mean by too many patriots?
They would never let it happen. They would never let these...
Oh, no, that's not the reason. That's not my reasoning. The reason is because... The reason is because the cops... They've been shitted on.
Okay? Yeah.
They've been killed by Black Lives Matter. They've allowed the precincts to be burned down. And they would have to save us, not us, because if we rise up and if the cops are on the side of the corrupt politicians, they'll mow us down. But if the cops, if they link together and if they say to the governors, to the state legislators, fuck you, what are they going to do? What are the state legislatures and the governors going to do? Call a cop?
Right on. Probably not. You can't call a cop. They defunded them.
Yeah, that's right.
All right. All right, Joe, man. It's been a great call. I got to get back to my guest. Chuck is waiting there in the wings. Been a great call. Thanks for listening. It's always fun to take a call, especially one who's passionate and informed. You know, sometimes you get loony birds call on the show.
I hear you.
Don't know what the hell they're talking about. So thanks for the great call. And thanks for tuning in, brother. Appreciate it. Best way to hear the show is on hold. I can put you back on hold. You hear it clear as a bell there on hold. It's up to you, sir. Have a great night. That was a good call. It's always good to have a good call. Now, back to the Fukushima. Folks, we are talking with Chuck Hyman about Fukushima nuclear disaster. 10 years later, it's unbelievable that this is still a phenomenon and that nothing's getting done.
You are listening to Patriot Nation Radio Live, 347-637-3942.
Yes, indeed. So the ramifications and the consequences of this disaster are going to be phenomenal. And I don't think any new Green Deal or anything that they can do to try to save this environment is going to help. Because it's not the oil and the gas industry that's destroying the world. It's the nuclear industry. And you heard it here live in West Virginia and in Maine. Maine is far away as you can get from Fukushima. And it hasn't been in the completely in the jet stream, apparently, for a little while, at 5,000 counts per minute in Maine. That's insane. West Virginia, over 8,000. Folks, this is all over the country. Fukushima is on the east coast of Japan, and we're talking east coast of America with these numbers because of what's shaking out of the clouds due to Fukushima.
I'm going to read you a little clip here from EnviroReporter.com. Gates to disaster, as in Bill Gates. Fukushima meltdown to 10 years. Today, 10 years ago, the worst nuclear reactor catastrophe exploded in Japan when a massive earthquake sent a tsunami slamming into the reactor complex at Fukushima. They're saying three reactors next to this Pacific blew up. The nice part of everybody says Chernobyl was worse than Fukushima. And this report comes out saying this one is the worst one.
Yeah. Well, the people that have been following and paying attention, we know it's the worst disaster. It's probably the worst disaster out of all the disasters that we've ever had in the world, besides the one that made the caveman and the dinosaurs extinct, for crying out loud, you know?
So, one of the things I'm trying, Gates told CNBC in February that new nuclear reactors would absolutely become politically viable because, as he put it, according the network shows reporting, it's the safest energy system available.
Yeah, right. So they're trying to say that nuclear is the safest. Last I checked, and I work with electric. I'm an electrical technician working in the manufacturing industry, manufacturing gigantic packaging machines, feeding the world. And I don't know where I was going with that. But anyway, it was a great job, and I love it.
Okay. Now, I want to throw another curveball at you, Mark. Are you still sitting down?
I'm still laughing at myself. Hold on. Yes, I'm sitting down.
The firing of the 5G. You remember I sent you a bunch of links a year ago about the 5G?
Yes, it's all over the place already.
The builders and the workers that were dealing with the 5G were wearing what now?
Yeah, hazmat suits, right?
Radioactive hazmat suits because of what 5G is.
Yep.
Now, we add the nuclear mass of all of our reactors. You add the 5G to it. And what 5G can do with all these towers can legally, literally, nuke us all.
It's crazy. And that's what they're going to – people are standing around me now with 5G phones. I'm like, holy moly. They're sending SpaceX spaceships with 60 satellites at a time they're releasing every time they go up, like 60 to 100 satellites at a time. They're putting this grid around the whole globe so they can shoot 5G gamma radiation down on our heads in all directions. I know when they first were coming out, they're going to put these boxes on every telephone pole. Every 100 feet, there's going to be a little reception. They decided they're just going to send the satellites up and bomb us from space, I guess. I don't know.
So you asked me the big question, is there any food source that we can now have that is safe? Well,
yes.
Unfortunately, when you look at the knowledge that we just talked about, between the 5G, the nuclear, 170 million people already drinking radioactive water. You look at our numbers across this country. It's not going to get any better, folks.
Right. It doesn't look like it. And we wonder why cancer's spiking. People
and dementia, brain diseases, human body just cannot take what we're getting.
Nope, and it just gets more and more and more and more every day that goes by. And I have no idea, but I got a 10-year-old son, and when I go to the beach, I grease him up with all this stuff, and I don't even know if it's going to help or if it's going to matter. We're eating processed foods. We're breathing contaminated air. We're getting rained on by nuclear radioactive rain. I implore people. I wish people would go ahead and do core samples of their yards. And do the core samples of your yard. Get the results. Call me up. We'll do another show. I will do a show. We'll talk about it. I don't know how to do it, where I would even bring a core sample in my area, but I'm sure I could find out. And take like three spots, one in the front, one in the back, and one on the side or something, and see what the radioactive level is.
Here's the biggest thing. I don't know about down there in Florida, but, given where I'm located at, 10 years ago, this wasn't such a big incident. But we're 10 years of Fukushima. Chernobyl is out there 35 years, something like that. I don't remember. We got Three Mile Island, and then the fact that we've got every other nuclear reactor in this country that are leaking. The thing that has gotten to be a hot topic that everybody is trying to get on a bandwagon with and trying to get something done is called radon.
Right.
Where do you think it comes from?
Radiation.
It is the radioactive particles that come down in our rain into our yards and seeping into our basements. Come on.
There it is. And it's widespread, folks. This isn't just in Japan. The Pacific Ocean.
It's global. 40 days that it circles this planet.
Every 40 days. For 10 years. Mm-hmm. So if someone wants to do the math, do that math, you'll be like, holy moly. For every 40 days.
And then you can add 3 miles issue to it, add Chernobyl's issue to it, and then you take and figure out, I think there's 154 nuclear reactors in the world.
And then they wonder why the parts counts per minute in West Virginia is over 8,000.
Mm-hmm.
We wonder. And that's, folks, it's only going to keep going up because these things continue to leak. They continue to contaminate everything around them. And maybe you don't want to take a sample of your yard, and you don't want to take a sample of your water because it just might freak you out and, you know, just keep eating and drinking and let God handle it, you know?
Okay, I just Googled. Gotta love having computers at some point. 440 power reactors.
440. And that's globally?
Well, that's what I asked the computers. So I asked how many nuclear reactors are on this planet, and it's spewing out 440.
See? And I bet you out of 440, 439 of them leak, and the last one is going to start leaking real soon because they just built
it. I can also tell you this, from researching and getting into nuclear reactors, now them are the registered and licensed nuclear reactors. Now you got to look at how many colleges have nuclear reactors for studying that are not in that list.
We're surrounded by nuclear radiation, and there's no escape. There's absolutely no escape. And you'd think Hollywood would have done a movie on this type of stuff already. They foreshadowed everything. They just never foreshadowed that Fukushima would leak for 10 years and contaminate the globe. Crazy.
So, you know, like I said, look at how many of them are leaking. Most of them, and every one of them cycles. So at every time it cycles, there is a radiation release. Then you look at the fact you got Turkey Point, Indian Point are leaking into the east and the Gulf Coast. You got Fukushima. You've got Chernobyl. And now they're looking, and Bill Gates is wanting to build more. Holy moly.
Right. It's great. It is crazy. So if someone wanted to see these numbers for themselves and they wanted to look at the numbers, so that maybe they can – maybe we're just pulling numbers out of our, you know, magic hat right after we pull the bunny out. Where can people research these numbers for themselves? Is there a website?
There is, and I'm going to do one better. I'm going to go drop the link and the information on – your page.
There you go. And then we'll have all the info.
So,
of course, you can go over to my page and get it, and I'm going to share it around to all the radio pages and the groups so that you can have this information where you can find the information, where you can see the numbers, get the numbers, and blow your own mind.
Here, I'll just give it to you. epa.gov/radnet. This is the EPA-owned website that I'm pulling these numbers out of, and I can almost tell you right now, I bet these are lower than they actually are.
Right. So that would be www.
Just go epa.gov/radnet.
RadNet. That's the one.
RadNet.
RadNet. There you go. EPA.gov/RadNet. We're getting these numbers off the government website, folks. So we'll just save that right here towards the end of the show so you can go, holy crow. So you want to see the numbers? You want to understand? You want to see? Go there. www.epa.gov/RadNet, like radiation network. You know, something, RadNet. And you can see these numbers for yourself. Chuck, I want to thank you so much. I don't know if you have anything you want to promote, discuss, talk, share with the people.
No, we'll keep in touch, Mark, when I figure out what my next steps are, and then we'll go from there.
Right. And I appreciate you, Chuck. It's always great to have you on. Thanks again for joining the show.
You bet. Have a good evening, and be safe out there.
And thanks for all the great info. I'll talk to you soon, brother.
All right. Have a good evening, Mark.
You too. Peace. Folks, how was that? I hope that now you are a little bit more informed, that you see that Fukushima is still leaking and a danger to all mankind. And there's not much we can do. But I guess we're just going to fry. We're just going to be in this gigantic microwave bubble with satellites zooming around our nuclear radioactive 5G at our brains. And our souls and our hearts and our minds just fried. Who knows? So far, I'm still kicking. Now, I got a little information health-wise for myself. All my heart results have come back. I don't know if I've said this, but your favorite host, your third favorite host behind Gary Binford and James Bostic, me, Mark Hoffman, has a regurgitating mitral valve. Folks live with this condition for a very long time where eventually their valve needs to be replaced. My valve will eventually need to be replaced in my heart. It is a 95% success rate of folks over the age of 65. So the chances are pretty good as I'm only in my mid-50s. I'll be 63 if it lasts 10 years. It's a minor case. It's not always regurgitating on me, as I say, burping. So I ain't going nowhere. I ain't going to die. I'm on a little bit of medication, which I can't stand the hate medication, but that's where I'm at. I have a mitral valve regurgitating valve in my heart, and it is replaceable. So we're changing the diet. We're exercising, and we're moving forward. A friend of mine has had two valves replaced already, and he's 10 years younger than me. And if it lasts 10 years, maybe they'll have some sort of top-notch equipment that will last until I'm dead. I need a valve that will outlast me. So if I get one at 63 and I get a valve that lasts 20 years, it'll probably outlive me. That's what, you know, with all the radiation, I'm probably going to fry before I can even get a chance to get the valve replaced. Who knows? But anyway, that's where I'm at with my health. So if you want to say a quick prayer, pray for me, pray for my health, pray for my wife, pray for my son, that we make it and that I can live to a ripe old age and watch my son get married and stuff and die a happy man. That would be awesome. And next week, I have no idea what I'm talking about, but stay tuned. Something will pop up and we'll put a show together. That'll be Thursday next week, 8 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Patriot Nation Radio Network. That is the Patriot Nation Radio Show live with your host, Mark Hoffman. And, of course, a conservative perspective heard two nights a week, Tuesdays and Thursdays, 7 p.m. Eastern, and United Patriots Uprising with Gary Binford on alternating Mondays. This coming Monday he will be off, but the following Monday he will have a powerhouse lineup, as always, and totally kicking it. And that'll be an amazing show, I guarantee it. That's the United Patriots Uprising. And you heard before at the beginning of the show, LibertyRush.com, that's my good friend Rob. He created that. It's a social media network without the libtarded rhetoric. You can go to Speak Your Mind, First Amendment Rules there at libertyrush.com. There is email confirmation required when you go there. So if you go there and you sign up, be sure to confirm in your email you will be live on libertyrush.com. A lot of the same features of Facebook. You know, you got to go there. You got to learn it. You got to navigate. So that's what you do. LibertyRush.com.
And I don't want to forget my friend Paul. He sent me a million patches after I won a contest on Liberty Rush. And he's Paul from PatriotShit.com. Go get yourself some Patriot Shit. Thanks, folks. This is one of my favorite parts of the show is the Star Spangled Banner because I love this version. But, of course, it's the least favorite part of my show because it's the end. I don't like the end. I like it to continue. But here we go, ladies and gentlemen. Please rise and join me as Dave Bray rocks out the Star Spangled Banner. God bless America. Thank you for tuning in tonight. Without you, there is no Patriot Nation radio show or network. Till we meet again Thursday, 8 p.m., good night, and God bless. Peace.